Market Watch is proudly brought to you by Top Sport, home of the Top Sport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1800 858 858.
G'day everyone, welcome to week three of the finals. The prelims are upon us. We've got the Top Sport Market Watch podcast. It's proudly brought to you by Top Sport. Remember, that is the home of the Top Sport betting multi. Download that app today. We've got the usual suspects here. Why wouldn't they be here? This is week 29 of the season. I'm talking about Tristan Merlihan from Top Sport and Jared Condon from Reading the Play. How are we, gentlemen?
Yeah, very good, Jimmy. It's that time of the year where it's an exciting time, isn't it? Where only three games left in the regular season proper for the NRL, and well, not the regular season proper, but the NRL season. And we've got probably not the greatest weeks of footy that was just gone last week. There's a couple of blowouts, but that happens. But now that what that means is we've got two really informed teams taking on the teams that finished up the top of the ladder to start to finish the regular season. So should be a great weekend of footy. Looking forward to it. AFL Grand Final, good weekend of racing. So, we're very excited about what's to come.
Yes, Jimmy, good footy. A few live legs floating around, some great racing. What a time to be alive, eh? Into a big weekend of footy this week.
You wouldn't be dead for quids, is what they say in the classics. What we like to do here on the Market Watch podcast, we like to go back before going forward. So just before we get to that, if you do want to subscribe, if you haven't subscribed now, like seriously, what's your problem? You can do it via Spotify, Apple, Wooshka, wherever it is you get your podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube as well. So last week we had the Rabbits minus one was a yes for Jared, and then Aft Cabin, a little collect there as well. But I think the big news for you over the weekend, Jared, was the incredible performance of Plundering, which I think has been nominated for the WS Cox Plate. Is that right?
Well, I hope so, Jimmy. I hope so. It might be on the radar. Who knows? Yes, Jimmy, two from two, and nice to have a Saturday Metrop winner at the Gold Coast last Saturday, which is my first, and I probably haven't had a lot of sleep since. Bit of a spring in my step. And off to Sydney we go on the 8th of October, the Royal Randwick, on a big race day that's already sold out. And we might have a runner that day. So very exciting.
Were you there on track?
Yes, I was, Jimmy. Yes.
Excellent. Was Tristan not on track?
Well, Jimmy, it's funny you mentioned that, because I do think that we did have a conversation last Friday on the telephone where I mentioned two things to you, and one was Plundering was running on Saturday, and the other was that Cameron Smith looked a very good bet at $6 in the Live Golf, and the really good news come Monday was that you didn't touch either of them.
Why is that good news? That should be bad news, Jared.
Well, they both won by panels, Jimmy.
Jared, it's not good news. It's great news. There's nothing better than, I reckon the only thing better than backing a winner is seeing Jimmy miss one.
You know what? And this is unfortunate too, but when I heard that he was two shots up, Cam Smith, I'm death riding him the whole back nine. You know, I think, and that's not right. That's like an unders bet, you know, but just because I wasn't on, I just thought, hope he does. He did win. We didn't have any lunch bets last week, did we?
No, we didn't. And there's a big blank space where your horse results have been blank for many weeks too, Jimmy. Have you found another couple of 50s each week this week that we can have, 10 by 90 or something for the run top 10?
Disappointing. Back to the drawing board. Hours and hours are spent researching on that one. Anyway, in the meantime, what we will do is update our lunch bets ladder. I'm on top by panels, speaking of, plus six, Jared on zero, Tristan minus 12. Tell you what, Top Sport. Look, there's a positive to it. Raised plenty of money for Pass It On Clothing. Now, we had the reset, didn't we, after the big lunch a couple of weeks ago, and $23,500 to Pass It On Clothing, courtesy of Top Sport and the NRL Market Watch podcast. So where are we at with total now, Tristan?
Yeah, so there was a total paid of $13,300 there. It was paid late last week. So that's all done at us. So it was great to get that off to the team, Chris and the team there. And now we've got a balance of $422, which kicks us off again on the run home into the big games over the next fortnight.
Yes, once again, the clock is reset, the meter's up, but at least we've got $400 to kick things off. And for those that are watching, the Pass It On Clothing funding page now is up to $27,481, chasing their goal of $35,000. Now, that includes, they're at about $15,500 that's come through from Top Sport and from the proceeds of the lunch, and then direct to Pass It On Clothing. I think there was about 8,000 or 9,000 that Chris and Olga collected on the day themselves through raffle and auction prizes and door tickets and God knows what. So wonderful to kick that along, and off we go again to see how close to a nice number we can get by Christmas.
I know there's a lot of things to talk about over the course of the last week's games, but let's roll them into this week's games because they have a relevance around that. So let's get started. Friday night, it's absolutely huge. It's up there at Townsville, Queensland Country Bank Stadium. The Cowboys, no injury concerns. Same 17 that did the job first week of the final. You can only imagine how fit and firing and ready to go they are in their favoured conditions. For the Eels, Tom Opacek, he's got a hamstring injury. That actually might be a strength if Murata Neokora is actually moved out there. Makahesi Makatoa would be back in, his 18th man. Rice Cartwright comes into the bench. I think that's a little bit strange. What's the market saying about this one, Tristan? And has there been any move over the course of the first 4 days of the market?
Now, the market's been very solid. We opened it and it's still sitting at the exact same price as what we opened it, really. It's $1.70, the Cowboys, $2.18 Parramatta, 2.5 is the line, and 42.5 the total points. So you've got a team in the Cowboys that obviously, one, got the week off, which was much needed for them. They did well against the Sharks, but does that form line hold up? I'm not 100% sure, but obviously up there at Townsville, they grow a leg. Parramatta obviously lost week one where Penrith just got over the top of them, but I don't think there's any harm there. And then they were very impressive there against the Raiders, who maybe, as Jared pointed out last week, were, you know, just beaten up a little bit. So I get the feeling that at 2.18 and 2.5, I just think this game is very, very close to a coin flip personally, and I'd probably rather be with the plus.
Yeah, I have it further apart. I'm somewhere around 4.5. I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, if we take what would we think home ground advantage is? I think it's at least 4.5. If we take 4.5 out of that, you know, we're suggesting that the Eels are rated higher than the Cowboys coming into this game. I certainly have it different than that, given the Cowboys' record to date. My question mark in the background of this is that both games, in my opinion, both teams come into this off games where I think the form line's just a little bit weak and a little bit questionable. And let's just touch on the Eels first. I just don't like the fact that they come out of a game where going into halftime, they had something like 65 to 66% of the possession, but it was really soft possession. I mean, it was like almost a touch football training run where they just walked through the Raiders. There was no opposition. There was no hurt. There was just no quality to what they did. It was just a walk in the park against a weak opponent, and that weak opponent offered up 34 missed tackles. Well, the Eels also offered up, 29 themselves. I just don't like the quality of the game. Now, the Eels then go on the road. Their travel record is not great. They've lost 5 of their last 6 when they've been in Townsville. Again, they're up against the humidity, and I'll touch on it in a minute. I think the Cowboys play them very well if they play them right. Now, the Cowboys, they've got just so many ticks about being at home here. The market's been very good at getting them right. The last 12 times they've been favourite, they've won. They've been a darling for punters, especially at the line this year. Of their 25 games so far this season, they've covered the line 17 times. Their record at home, they've won 8 of their last 9. Their record at home against the Eels, they've won 5 of their last 6. All of that stacks up so well for them. If they come out of that game against the Cowboys, clearly with no injuries, but I just worry about the depth of that game of leaking 30 points to the Sharks in Sydney, but they have been different at home. Let's go back to that game in round 8 where they absolutely whacked the Eels, who were on a good roll at the time in Darwin. They get similar conditions here with a hot, humid evening. I think it's going to be about 26 maybe degrees come game time. And Peyton was very clever with his attack pattern, really wanted to play them down the edges. And Jimmy, even if Nakora comes in, both Nakora and Tom Opacek, both have some problems in sideways mobility, and they have issues with their two wingers defensively. And the Cowboys can open that up again like they did in Darwin. That's where I think they've got an advantage. I'm with the Cowboys, no injuries, home ground, full house. I think they've got the skill in attack, but they really need to aim up in defence. I thought it was a little bit too light. I did think there was a great anytime try score option here, and that's Valentine Holmes. He's in outstanding form. He's on that left edge. He's targeting a weak defensive combination. 294 at Top Sport. Gee, it won't start that by game time.
Yeah, I'm with the Cowboys, but I have a different take on that game against the Canberra Raiders. Like, you know, Jared, you and I were so bullish about the Canberra Raiders going into that. They came off that really impressive win against Canberra. They had a forward pack that we thought was really, really good form. Tarpany in particular, Hudson Young, to a lesser degree, Papalihi. And I just, and there were all the rumours and the word we're hearing out of Parramatta was of a divided group, and they may be divided, but they exploded out of the blocks. They've got this power game if you let them. They love playing at home. It's a real sanctuary for them. And they just blew everyone's expectations away. There were different stages in that first half where I think Gutherson came up with two really good try-save, like really important try-saving, really clever play that thwarted the Canberra Raiders. And beyond that point, their handling let them down. And then from there, it was all Parramatta. Dylan Brown was spectacular. Mitchell Moses was excellent as well, but they get big minutes out of these two big guys in Campbell Gillard and Junior Barlow. And then when they take them off, there's a change. You know, it's just not as strong. And that's going to be a concern up there in North Queensland, whereas everything else is, as you say, at home, week off. It's going to be 28 degrees when they kick off. Like, it's 29 degrees forecast for the day. It drops a degree by 8 p.m., humidity over 80%. So it's very unique conditions in the National Rugby League. And the unfortunate thing for Parramatta is they've got this power game that relies on their big, tough forwards to play long minutes. And that's just going to put Barlow and Campbell Gillard under a heap of pressure for that. And the other guys are used to it. And they've got that different style, haven't they? Got, yes, Taumalolo, yes, McLean, but Reuben Cotter's that different type of middle forward where, you know, he is set and forget almost. Leave him out there and away you go, Reuben. So I think everything's set up for the Cowboys. I'm prepared to say that for them to go down to Cronulla and win that game, I thought it was a really, really good performance. They left it late. Defence, a question mark. But I think that given it was a focus pre-season, I reckon that would have been a focus for Todd Payton during the course of this 2-week break that they had as well too. So I see the Cowboys winning. I think -2.5, not enough. And so I'll take them at the line as well. What about points scored, Jared? Do you have a thought on that?
Well, Jimmy, just before we get to the points, the other interesting thing here is that Arthur's moved Bryce Cartwright onto his bench in 14. Now, the mail seems to be that Makatoka is going to miss out. So he's going to go with a forward who's not a notable defender and can get very loose on an edge and very loose if there's a bit of or a lack of mobility and some quick play around him. I just wonder if that just weakens some of what's coming off the bench for the Eels as well. Jimmy, I thought 42.5 was a risk. If it is humid, if the Cowboys can get a roll and kick and get going into the second half and then the Eels are struggling, I potentially can see them getting a gap, and that 42.5 is a risk. And certainly their record of high-scoring games in these night humid conditions at home has also been very high.
It's such a strange time to bring Bryce Cartwright in, isn't it? Cartwright for Jake Arthur, I understand that, right? That would make sense. But Cartwright in for Makatoa, who's your middle forward, that's going to be required because the other middle forwards don't play as much time. Like, it's just a strange one. Maybe it changes and Niokora does go into the centres and I think that's probably the way that happens with Opacek. But gee, it's a strange decision. And poor old Brad Arthur, he's just spent the whole week defending his selections. Like he said, like rather than putting his energy towards the game, all he's had to do is keep asking questions about why you're picking your son and why aren't you picking Nathan Brown. So very interesting. Saturday, it's an absolute cracker. It's a Panthers side that have zero injury concerns. Taylan May is off with suspension. Charlie Staines, this is interesting, comes into the side. You'd reckon Brian To'o goes to that left side. Partners Isaac Tungo out there. Api Korosau, he's named to start. Sometimes they switch it around with Mitch Kenny. Overall, though, they're very healthy at the moment, the Panthers. Not so much the Rabbitohs. So Alex Johnson, hip flexor. Jai Arrow, who'd be huge, groin. No Saliba Havili, based on what happened previously. It looks like Josh Mansour is the backup for Alex Johnson if he's not available to play. And Jed Cartwright has come into the 17 in place of Saliba Havili. What's the market on this big game on Saturday against your Penrith Panthers, Tristan?
Yeah, my Penrith Panthers, and I'm a touch nervous, I've got to say. I think they've been the best team in the comp by a significant margin all year, other than a couple of weeks when the Titans probably are playing good football. But I just have a little worry that, I just don't know how these couple of weeks off are going to go. And I think the Bunnies, I think we're going to agree to disagree here, Jimmy, where you're worried about where they run. I feel like they're building a bit of momentum, and they're a side that if they can get ahead of steam up, they might be very hard to toss here on Saturday night. I think it's going to be a beauty of a game. $1.36 Penrith, $3.20 Souths, 8.5 the line. We've already laid the plus, 185 the plus, 195 the minus. I think my opinion is it's going to be very, very tight for the first half. I think we're going to see a really high quality first half, and I'm hoping with my heart that maybe they just run over the top of them late. That's my hope. But Jared, what do you feel with this game?
Yeah, very similar thoughts, Tristan. I mean, we've got the grand final matchup here. Last year, there was only 2 points in it in the run home. Nathan Cleary absolutely kicked him to death with the quality of his kicking game. Now we've got changes in both sides. I mean, my negatives around the Rabbits is I just, again, worry about the quality of that Sharks game last week, and there was just no strength in it. But I do think that they were like the week 2 weeks prior against the Roosters in the final round, that they had to do enough to win. They knew what they needed to get through. They have more eyes on next week because the Sharks really weren't taking anything to them. These injuries are a real worry, and then the bench depth becomes a question mark, Jimmy. And, I don't know what Blake Taff has to do this year. He's just completely fallen off the radar for selection there. I mean, the mail seems to be that Arrow will play. There's still a question mark about Johnson. Now, Staines lines up on that right edge. Then he's facing the cavalry of where they love to play. That will be very interesting because he has been found out with some defensive frailties at times. Well, the positive about the Rabbits is that they've got that finals experience. They are building in confidence. Latrell's playing. Their record at Homebush is very good. Won 5 of their last 6 there. But they have lost their last 3 when against the Panthers at Homebush. Their record as an underdog is also very good. And I feel that they've got a lift in them. If they're not too battered around by these injuries into this game, and that they're somewhere around what I thought was their best offering this year against the Roosters 2 weeks ago. The Panthers are just the absolute benchmark. And I have to say, I find it hilarious reading and watching some of the media, especially on the News Limited quarter at the moment. What does Ivan Cleary and the Panthers have to do to get some of the accolades that they deserve at the moment? I mean, he had them absolutely cherry ripe for week one. They won, they get the week off. Again, barring a suspension, they're all but full strength here. All the mail I'm getting is that they've done 2 weeks of very physical contact work to make sure that they're not going to be telling in the second half of match fitness. Their record in finals is very good. They've won 8 of the last 9 against the Rabbits, which is very telling. Nathan Cleary comes back from that break, man of the match, absolutely brained it 2 weeks ago. I can't be against the Panthers. I'm somewhere around 8 between them, and I'm going with the 8.5 as a angle to take the Rabbits. Panthers to win, but yeah, 8.5, yes, that's my position at the plus, but I'm not roll gold committed to it.
What was your assessment of the Rabbitohs form last week, Jared?
I didn't like it a lot, Jimmy. I didn't like it a lot. And I thought they were loose. So I thought their defence lacked, you know, intensity, and some of their handling was poor and their combinations were poor.
Yeah. So I was out there, took the boys out, and it gives you a great understanding when you start watching teams live. You know, I thought Jai Arrow was superb. Tafita Totola, I think, is very lucky to be playing this game.
Stunning.
And he's such an important part of it. Mark Nichols was gassed after 7 minutes. Like, I know he went all out there, but he was gassed after 7 minutes. And now you start looking at that skinny on the bench. I think Havili's been such a good player for them.
Yep.
My concern is that they're running out of steam. You know, like the only thing, and well, there's probably two things. It's Cameron Murray is just a superb player. And you just, every time he goes to the line, you just hope and pray that he doesn't get a head knock, because he's such a key to what the Rabbitohs are doing. And then Latrell Mitchell is lighting up the semi-final series. He's won 7 on the trot, both at the Rabbits and the Roosters, of course, was missing last year. And so he's a key difference to the side that played in the grand final. And he's just one of those players, you can't even see it on a stat sheet, right? Because they put a bomb up Cronulla, and he goes up, and there's Cronulla players around him, and he just goes up and catches it with his hands above his head like he's a centre half forward. And, yep. and you know what? He comes down and they tackle him straight away. And on the stat sheet, it says he caught the ball. Like, that's all it says. But he did more than that. And all these teammates around him go, holy, Trell's on today. And, you know, it just gives everyone this huge wave of confidence. Cody Walker's been excellent as well. I look at Penrith and I see only one issue, and you're right, it's Charlie Staines. And I'm, you know, it's unfortunate. I think he's a fullback. But his job when he plays on the wing is to bring the ball out of trouble, and he can't do that. He doesn't have the physicality to do that. I wouldn't be surprised if Tuiva plays instead of Charlie Staines, just because he's a stronger ball carrier. And that's the only concern I have. Beyond that, they are humming. The Penrith Panthers, absolutely set, ready to go. More from Cleary. He kicked them to death in the grand final. Cut pace for this one this week. I don't think 8.5 is enough. I think it gets away from them late. I think they're ready for a performance that puts that little cherry on top. You talk about the accolades that should go the way of Ivan Cleary. Well, if he gets it into a third straight grand final, then he'll deserve them. I like the Panthers at the -8.5.
Interesting with the points here, Jimmy, at 41.5. I think this game's tight. I just can't see it breaching 40 points because the Panthers' defence, as we know, is outstanding. They're the benchmark. They're still, even into the final series, sitting at 13.7 a week. And that's what the Rabbits have got to bust, and they've got to make the Panthers have to also chase points. You just can't be against that. So I don't know that we're going to see an open, flowing game with lots of attack. It's a Sunday night in Sydney. It's at Homebush, which can get a little bit slippery down the edges as a night game. I don't think it breaches the 40. So I'd be under the 41.5 at the total.
It's got 24-10 written all over it, in my opinion. All right, Jared, you better give us your best of the week.
Well, Jimmy, I'm a little bit torn here because I'm all over the Cowboys to make the grand final as a bet I mentioned earlier in the season. I'm also all over the Rabbits against the upside here of also making the grand final. So I'm with the Rabbits just at the plus. A small play for me. I do think the Cowboys win, and I do think that Valentine Holmes, anytime try scorer, $3. Or $2.94 now. He was $3, I think, this morning. Gee, I'm all over that like a rash.
Tristan, you got one for us?
Yeah, well, I've certainly got a bet, and I just think it's been a little bit remiss of us not to discuss some lunch bets, because it seems like there's a little bit of differing opinion here. So I'd like to propose that I am going to have my best bet on the Eels +2.5. So if there's anyone that would like to oppose during... Yes.
Let's make that two.
Tristan, you bring up a very good point. It was remiss of us not to get stuck, because there were lunch beds popping up all over the place there, wasn't it? Well done, you.
Yeah, and then I, some people say I can read the future, but I get the feeling one of your best bets may be on my Panthers, and Jared's just popped his best bet on the Bunnies. So I'm just wondering whether there might need to be a little bit of a discussion between you two there.
Yes.
I certainly will go. Yeah, absolutely. It's all for a good cause. But
Tristan, on, mate, don't give me this. Oh, yeah, it's all for a good cause. I'm not all in on it, mate. You're either in or out. What are you arguing?
Mate, I'm in. I'm in. But I'm just leading to the fact that Tristan's sitting on the fence with splitters in his backside, not trying to back his own team.
I will take my own team, Jared. I've planted a couple of seeds. Was it yesterday or the day before, Jimmy, on radio, where I said you like to back away from a challenge? So I've got you fired in today, and that's a good result. And yeah, we've got four lunch bets fired in.
The incredible thing about it was overwhelmingly the listeners agreed with you. But anyway.
The only worry is I'm now in for 100 on the Panthers.
Here we go. Go to the Panthers. Come on, Nathan. You know what's going to happen. It's going to be a kick from the sideline for that 8.5. It'll take it out. It'll go from 8 till 10, and he'll slot it through like no problem. But anyway.
And all of a sudden, your mobile reception will be working.
It's amazing how it just drops in and out at different stages here. So amazing how it can be like that. Righto, where's the sharp money going, Tristan? Has there been some moves from the pros?
Yeah, what the money has been this week actually has been a very interesting market leading into a grand final or the prelim finals. Is that the two favoured teams in the comp are Penrith and South Sydney, and they're both playing each other in the prelim. So Penrith's $1.77, South Sydney $5. Then you've got the Cowboys at $5.50 and the Eels at $6. And what we have noticed is that some of the punters have lobbed into the Cowboys or the Eels at the premiership betting. Obviously, one of them has to make it through. So what that would potentially indicate to me is obviously they like that side in this week. And then they get the feeling that their Bunnies might be a chance of causing the upset against Penrith, because if the Cowboys or the Eels win, obviously, regardless of the outcome of the other game, they're going to firm up to a lot shorter than what they are now, which is obvious. But if the Rabbits happen to get the result, then obviously it will significantly move on the back of that. So that's where a bit of the sharp action's been this weekend.
Jared?
Well, it's interesting. The last couple of weeks, a number of guys I'm talking to all aligned around the same thing. This week, they're not... you know, I've got a couple, especially on the Cowboys-Eels game, I've got a couple of guys who are sitting on the fence. They don't have the Cowboys as pronounced as I do. I guess the common train, though, is that the Panthers are the benchmark, and take the 177 this week, because I would expect that next week they're starting $1.20-something against whoever they play, and would be very difficult to beat.
So based on the present price, I think we worked it out the other day, Tristan, that it's $1.77. They're $1.36 this week. Unless you get $1.30 next week, then you're better off getting it now.
Yeah, $1.30 is that exact calculation at the moment. So that's what the market is suggesting, which I think, as Jared touches, is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Well, and if you guys happen to be right and the Panthers win comfortably, say it's 12, 14 points, they will not be $1.30 next week.
Yeah. Which is amazing into a grand final. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Question without notice. What's the shortest a team's ever gone into a grand final? Because it'd have to be close.
I would suggest this would be as short as what we've seen. I can't, you know, envisage a team shorter than what we've seen. Like, because the reality is Penrith are $1.36 in this prelim against a team that's the second favourite in the comp.
Yeah.
So I actually think, despite the Cowboys being favourites this week in the prelim, I think though Penrith will start shorter against the Cowboys, and it'll be a bit closer if they take on the Eels if they get through. Would be my thinking.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, agree with that. All right, Jet. On the, now that we've got a thoroughbred owner of some note in our midst, we better get to a racing bet for the weekend, Jared.
So Tristan, have you got one? I think Jimmy was alluding to you.
No, you're the most recent winner, Jared. So I want to hear the hot mail. I do have one for this weekend, though. So, but I'll let the drum roll go first.
Well, we got a very good race, a very good meeting at Rose Hill this weekend. In particular, the Golden Rose, which great field, enormous prize money, but down the bottom there, race 8 Rose Hill, a number 16 In Secret, absolutely brained them last start. McDonald rides 54.5. I'd say there's a little bit of work around J-Mac riding at 54.5, but it's a race with enormous prize money. So I was all over In Secret. I thought probably the hardest one to beat was its stablemate, number 7, Golden Mile, also won very impressively last start. And just on the same note, how good is James Cummings going at the moment and the blue colours of Godolphin? I think last Saturday they had 13 runners around Australia for 8 winners and I think 2 placings.
Well, I can, so I'll pop that bet on for you, Jared. And I can, I was actually at a wedding last Saturday. And we went to the pub in between the ceremony and the reception to watch. And my wife said, oh, look at that. Who's won that race up there watching? And I said, it's those blue colours. It won't be a good result, I can assure you of that. And then 5 minutes later, there's those blue colours. They won't be good. And then in her Irish accent about half an hour later, those effing blue colours, there they go again. So it was her baptism of Australian racing in a spring carnival. She knew what we didn't and didn't want early in the piece. Now, I'm going to actually have a bet here, boys. I've got one, and we're going to go over to the lovely track of Morfettville over in South Australia. We're going to go race 1, try to get our money early. Race 1, number 5, More Reward. It's second favourite, Merchant Boss, in the race, but I just feel it should be a very, very warm favourite in that race. I think it looks a really nice bet. So we'll go race 1, number 5, More Reward.
All right. Jared, what race were you in?
I'm in race 8 at Rose Hill, Jimmy.
What number were you?
I was number 16.
Oh, I might go number 15. Okay. So, Tommy Berry, Anthony Cummings, She's Extreme. Okay. Looked to have a bit of barrier trial mishap back in the ruck. Came wide in the straight in the worst part. Didn't get really stuck in till her work was great under a little to no pressure. Now comes Rose Hill, wet track. Wet track, gentlemen. Drawn to stalk the leaders. Think she's going to be strong late. The all-important staking plan here, Tristan, you know how important that is. So what is she? $10 and $3. We might go 40-60.
40-60. There we go. So that's She's Extreme. I've got some bad news for you, Jimmy.
What's that?
She's Extreme was the horse I liked in the race as well.
Mate, you and I have liked a couple of the same tonight. And I nearly said when you were backing Penrith with me, no, can't wait. Anyway, She's Extreme. All right, there we go. Hey, Jerry. Well,
the really good news is neither of you backed Plundering or Cam Smith last weekend, so at least I'll come into this week with a little bit of excitement. And the other good news is, Jimmy, that you and I are going to have a side bet of a lunch on She's Extreme and In Secret, and that might help me get something back to pay the Penrith debt.
Whoever finishes first across the line, right?
That's it.
Okay. Is there anything taken into account? You're $2.60 and I'm $10. Can we do anything there?
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing's taken into account. You chose the race.
And you were playing poker too, Jimmy, sitting behind. So I don't think you could even use that as an excuse. So, but on a serious note, though, we have got some good news. We've talked about the rugby league. We've got the AFL grand final where the Swannies are $2.60 in that. But on a racing front as well, what a week at a racing sport. We've got 3 huge days of racing because on Friday night at the Valley, we've got the Moore Stakes. On Saturday, we've got the Golden Rose, as we've already touched on. And then on Sunday, we've got the Underwood. So we've got Group 1 racing on 3 nights and days over the course of the weekend. I don't think there's a better weekend of sport or racing on any time in the calendar.
Just watch out, Mrs. Tristan, for those blue colours, all right? So.
it definitely is a fantastic weekend, isn't it? You know, you sit down Friday night, especially if you're going to Melbourne, sit down Friday night and out at Moonee Valley, take in the grand final, then go back to Flemington on Sunday. Wow, what a trip away, that one.
Gentlemen, enjoy your weekend of footy and racing. Just to let you know, phone reception very strong out here where I am at the moment, which is great. And we'll look forward to doing this again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, gentlemen.
Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. Readingtheplay.com.